wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, we thank you for beautiful Mia, for her life, for the calling that her life has on each of us to help to be a force of peace in the world. God, not just to pray for wars ending, but to be a force of peace. God, not just to pray for folks to have food and shelter, but to be a force of action. God, not simply to pray against racism, not simply to pray against othering, not simply to pray against whole societies being wiped out, but God, to do action and to do something. God, push us, encourage us, nudge us, shove us to bring a more perfect world. God, as I speak today, as we talk about creation and faith and science, Lord, I pray that somehow you might speak through me, that you would give each one of us who are here ears to hear what you want us to hear, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and for goodness sakes, let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in the last week of this series on faith and science, where we've been looking at some of the intersections, and we've also looked at some of what the church says, which is anti-science, and some of what science says, which is anti-faith. If I could sum up this whole series in a sentence, what I would say is, faith and science are not at odds with each other. So maybe it's two sentences. But, then it's just still one, but I think science helps us understand the glory of God more. And God helps us understand the beauty of the unfolding of science more. They walk together and they work together. So today we're going to talk about something that science seems to have really come to understand, and that's the need to care for creation. Where faith, while we were told to do it and called to do it, seems to struggle a little bit more with it. So I want to invite you first to sort of set the mood and set the place by inviting you to watch this video and seeing a picture of creation. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing to look at the diversity within creation, to see the different designs of parts of nature, of animals, of birds, of animals of the sea. And I didn't even put any of y'all's faces up there. Think about the diversity that exists in God's creation. Isn't God creative? God is amazingly creative. Now, I have a question. There seems to be division about this question in the world. How many of you all are beach people? Like, I love going to the beach. I love to. This is, my wife and I are divided on this. How many of you all are mountain people? You're like, take me. Yeah, there's like nine of you, right? Nine mountain people. It matched with 9 o'clock. It was the same. I am a beach person. My wife's a mountain person. But how, I think here's the beautiful thing. Both are incredible gifts of creation. Both are beautiful gifts. I remember as a kid, somehow we used to get 9 people in our station wagon to go to the beach. 9. 3 of them had to sit backwards all the way. Come on, y'all remember this? Yes. 3. I used to get sick on car rides, so I sat in the middle of the front bench seat with my face on the air conditioner the whole time. But also, the closer we got to the beach, the more likely our car was to overheat. So we would get closer and closer, and about 4 or 5 miles out, my parents would say, we have to turn off the air conditioning, we have to roll down the windows. I think the truth is they wanted us to smell the smells of the beach. You know what I'm talking about? You start to get it, you're like, oh, I'm at the beach. Like, you don't even have to get there. And I remember our very first thing, we wouldn't unpack the car. The very first thing we'd do is we'd all run out to the ocean. We'd get out there and we'd look at the vastness of the water. And I remember even as a kid that didn't fully understand my relationship with God, I sensed God in the midst of it. Because the water would go on further and further and further and further. And the depths of God just became more and more beautiful. There's something for me about the ocean. And I don't know what your place is. It might not be the ocean. It might be standing on the top of a mountain looking at the beauty. It might be looking into a baby's face. There's something amazing that happens in the creative order. Not only is it beautiful, but it also sustains us. We live in a time and a culture where you walk in your kitchen and you turn a faucet on, and what happens? Water. Do you know there was a time when that didn't happen? There was a time in history where you didn't just turn a faucet on. And that's a very small example of the way that creation sustains us. The way that it cares for us. The way that it provides for us. And from the beginning, God has created the world to work in that way. And one of the ancient creeds of the church, the Apostles' Creed, it starts off, and everybody claims, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, not somewhere midstream. And it suggests that God created ex nihilo. Say that with me, ex nihilo. That means out of nothing. So think about walking to a blank canvas to start a painting and doing it out of nothing, and out comes the creation. And the reason we know that is if we get to Genesis 1:2, it says this, the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. Out of nothing comes this creative, beautiful creation. It was an act of intentionality. It was an act of intensity that God created. Jonathan Edwards, who was a theologian, suggested that it is when we were in the midst of creation that we can experience the power of God. The works of God, he said, are but a voice of language of God to instruct intelligent beings in things pertaining to God. Right, God has given us this beautiful creation. Now, I want to be clear. Creation is not God. God is God. But creation does reveal the acts of God to us. Creation tells us a lot about God's personality, a lot about who God is, a lot about God's way. Just like a painting, you know when you see certain paintings who painted them, because it speaks to the creative nature of that person. It speaks to their skill in painting. Now, we get a beautiful gift when we read the scriptures, when we walk out into nature, of the mountains, and a beautiful gift of the love of God. But I want to say something. While all of this is a gift, we also have incredible responsibility. We have a job to do, that we have been given all of this. Have you noticed how the green movement has sort of gone wild? I mean, really, it's kind of a big thing, and it didn't start recently, but it's certainly gotten bigger and bigger. In fact, in societies and in cultures where people can afford it, 70% of the produce purchased from a store now is organic. You know that? 70%. People go in, they don't even really know if it is, but it has a label on it, and they buy it. Why? Because they want the very best for themselves and for their families. They want the purest form of the fruits and vegetables in the environment to have. Things are labeled organic all through the stores, and it's grown 20% a year, almost every single year over time, of how much people are using it. And listen, everything in culture, how many of you all have bought a shirt or a jacket made out of like recycled plastic bottles? Anybody? I mean, I like see t-shirts, you pay like a lot of money for them. When they didn't even have to buy the stuff, they use old bottles for them, right? I am finding more and more in culture that people are trying to go out and buy things from other people so that we don't continue to create waste. I'm observing it over and over again. Somebody told me a few weeks ago about a clothing store where you can rent clothes. Who would have, it's like the Blockbuster of clothing, right? You check it out, you see if you like it, you send it back. And more comes. What a sustainable way to care for the environment. I do think our awareness is growing. Most of us, look, I grew up at a time in a town where it was nothing for somebody to be driving down the road and throw their fast food bag out the window. Most of us would be appalled by that. If somebody did it, we might chase them down and go, hey, here's your bag, right? Help it back. Or Many of us, where we live here, don't ever go to a landfill, right? We have some nice company that comes and makes it all pretty and takes it for us. If you go to a landfill today, maybe take a field trip this afternoon. If you go to a landfill, you'd probably notice that we produce a lot of trash. We throw out a lot. And I think often the issue is we think if everybody else would do better, it would be better. But we have to start with us. If you drive down a road and there's a truck producing a lot of black smog, who likes that? No one does. We don't want that in our society, in our culture. And again, we look at one another and we say, of course, they must do better. But what about us? How must we do better? Friends, as people who say we follow Jesus, as people who say we follow the God who created the universe, we must do better. We should be leading the people called the church at the forefront of how to make sure that things get better, that we provide a better future, not only for our children and grandchildren, but for the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, the gifts that God has given us. In his book, Mission of God, Christopher Wright says this: the church in its mission must bear witness to the great biblical claim that the earth is the Lord's, and must care for the earth as an act of love and obedience to its creator and redeemer. If the greatest commandment is that we should love God, that surely implies that we should treat what belongs to God with honor, care, and respect. I think he hits the nail on the head. If we say we want to love God with all of who we are and love our neighbor as ourselves, we must care for the creation that God has entrusted us with. So let's look at Genesis 2. We looked a little bit at Genesis 1. We're going to bounce back and forth today. It says, on the day the Lord God made earth and sky, before any wild plants appeared on the earth and before any field crops grew, because the Lord God hadn't yet sent rain on the earth and there were still no human being to farm the fertile land, the Lord God formed the human from the topsoil of the fertile land and blew life's breath into his nostrils. The human came to life. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and put there the human he had formed. In the fertile land, the Lord God grew every beautiful tree with edible fruit, and also he grew the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Friends, what does this tell us? We need creation. We need what God has given. As I said, God was not haphazard in creating it. If you notice, there's a little bit different order of things between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And we get this picture of Genesis 2 that God knew that humanity needed creation to survive. God created it in that way. God takes the dirt, it said the topsoil of the fertile land, and breathes life into it. And out comes the human. Friends, we could not survive. We would not survive without creation. We need to care for creation. The creation of the earth comes together along with humanity in this beautiful masterpiece. God's incredible painting. Could you imagine if you walked in to an art gallery and there was a beautiful painting and you treated it the way we treat the earth? What would people say? Security be all over you. People would be coming for you. See, intellectually, I don't think I have to convince any of us that we have to care for creation. I don't think I have to convince us that we need, for example, oxygen to survive. And we have this relationship with nature and this need to keep going and to keep caring for it. My grandmother lived to be 97 years old. She lived in Sperryville, Virginia. If you've never been to Sperryville, you need to go. Such a cool place. She lived on 10 acres. My grandmother was born physically and died physically in the same house. Think about that. 97. I have memories of going to visit my grandmother when she was 90 years old and her being out in the garden with the tiller, shaking my grandmother as she was going and her saying, hold on, I gotta finish tilling. I would stay with my grandmother for a week in the summer, and every time we needed water, she had running water in the house, but if we needed water to drink, we'd go out with a pitcher and dip it in the spring house. the coldest, freshest water I'd ever had. I would bet something like 80% of the food that my grandmother ate came from the land. And she lived to be 97 years old. She didn't have to regularly tell us to care for creation. She showed us. The garden moved from time to time to take care of the land. We had to pay attention to watch it grow. It's an important thing, friends, for us to care for the environment around us. And to talk about more about the interconnected nature of it, I said May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Do you know how many times a prescription for your mental health is to get outside? To walk in the midst of nature? Friends, that's not an accident. That's a God who created an interconnection between humanity and the world around us. Don't think of this in any way as an accident. We need creation. What does Genesis 1 tell us? We are called to nurture creation. Look at the passage. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God created humanity in God's own image to be amongst creation. Now, the first words of relationship that God gives humanity are not about relationship between humans. What are they relationship between? Humanity and the earth. Friends, we are called to care for this creation. And the word dominion that's often used, see, in Northern Virginia, we like that word dominion because it means control. But actually, the Hebrew Bible translation of this word dominion is not control, it's nurture, it's care for, it's steward. You are being given this gift of relationship to steward creation. The scripture says, how will you do it? It also tells us in Genesis 1 that we're called to use, not abuse, creation. Let's look at verses 29 to 30. God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God says, you are absolutely allowed to use the resources, but care for them. God says, I give you these resources so that the interdependence can work, so that the connection can work, but you're supposed to steward it. You're supposed to do good by it. So I want to give you a couple of things I put out on social media. What are things we can do? Here's the first thing. Use less. I got to tell you, and a couple of them are here, so I feel bad for saying this. Sometimes I think my kids are allergic to light switches. You got to turn those things off, y'all. Showers. Nobody takes more showers a day than a teenager. Not middle school. They don't take any. But high school, boy, do they shower. I think sometimes 25 times a day, and there's only 24 hours. And then go, why is there no hot water? Use less. Pay attention to the resources that you use. Turn that thermostat up in the summer and down in the winter. Here's the second thing. Recycle. I know there are people who don't believe that recycling actually works. Here's the deal. There is a little blue container in most of your homes. It is given to you by Loudoun or Fairfax County or wherever you live, and you can open it up and you can put things in it. And something will be done. Other ways to recycle, buy things from used stores or buy them on Marketplace or other places and reuse them. Share those things. Don't take those things to a landfill. I love putting things out there for free just because I believe someone else will use them. And I hate waiting for somebody to meet there for money. Right? If I can give it to you, use less, recycle, pay attention to that. Here's the third thing, experience and teach. And somebody told me this a long time ago. They said this, I want to read it. Before I had kids, I was an environmental educator and used to teach kids all about nature while hiking through the woods. Now I teach my own kids about nature. We compost, recycle, turn off the lights, grow our own veggies. The best way for one to really begin to care and want to protect the environment is to get out there, experience it, and enjoy it. You know what we need to do? We need to model for our kids, putting the devices down. I need to model for my kids getting outside. I was a streetlight kid. Anybody else a streetlight kid? Come inside when they go off? On? Ooh, I grew up in a different house. Come inside. Come inside when they go on. Go home. Y'all, I kid you not, I wish I brought this video today. We just got a fence in our backyard, which is so, so good for our new puppy. I wish you could have seen her the first time she got out there and just took off. Just experience it. Now you know what our problem is? She rings the bell like every 10 seconds. And she comes in and she's like, okay, I'm ready to go out again. I'm like, did you even use the bathroom? Get out there with them. Help them experience. And here's the fourth thing, the last thing I want to share. Become an activist. Like, be somebody that speaks up for the environment. It's a gift that you've been given. Stand up for it. And this is not a political thing. Becoming an activist is a Jesus thing. To care for the environment that God has given us. God called us to be stewards over it. What are we going to do? So why should you care about the environment? Well, science tells you to. Faith tells us to as well. What if the church became the leaders in caring for the environment and demonstrated it to the rest of the world? We might just actually change something. We might actually transform the world around us. I pray that it is so. Amen. Amen.